When the world lacks a leader, there are consequences.
When you write me an email, why can't I find a good church? Because the enemy has been attacking the church since its beginning. And in America, in earnest, back in the 20s and 30s, they set out to take over and capture the church so they could harness all the energies of the church to push their liberal and do-gooder programs to make people feel good about being lost and realize, oh, wait, we don't need Jesus. I'm a good person.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with filmmaker Curtis Bowers. Our world is being set up for global government. We are seeing instability in every nation. Someday, a political leader will arise who will appear to have all the answers, and the world will cheer him on. Now, here is today's programming.
The reason understanding January 6th is so important, like I was saying before, because they're going to use this narrative and this story to totally transform America if we let them. And so that's why it's important. I mean, they're purging the military and police right now by saying, oh, if you're patriotic, if you have, you know, don't tread on me flag or something, you're a threat to our country. So they're switching the narrative right now where flag waving, people that love the Constitution and the Declaration, they are domestic terrorists and they are evil. And they're taking this right now, this week, next week, and trying to push the narrative so hard about this on the anniversary of it that it will get them enough momentum to pass the bills they're trying to desperately pass again now. They failed the first time, but that federalize elections, where they have total control of elections so they don't have to fear ever losing another one. And so that it's a scary place because that's right where we are right now.
Glad you can join me for Understanding the Times Radio today, and I have worked with filmmaker Curtis Bowers for, I think, almost a decade, and we've carried his stunning film production agenda. I'll say more about that later. That film reveals the communist infiltration into America and the American church, and in listening to some of his more recent weekly updates, he's making some comparisons to today and to Nazi Germany, and I have warned of the same. We'll get to that throughout the hour here, but I first want to go back in time just a little bit, not a great deal in time, but back to January 6th, 2021. What really happened and what does it mean today and going forward? We are seeing tyranny out of control as governmental leaders exercise more and more authority and are getting more and more irate with people who stand up for freedom. So Curtis Bowers, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Say, you were present on January 6th, this would be a year ago now, and I appreciated the update that you gave as you were reflecting back on that historic day. Why don't you clarify, since you were present, gave a firsthand account, that there was no sentiment of rebellion to take down the government, etc., and there was more of a sentiment that if you don't go along with the government, you're a terrorist.
That day was a wonderful day. Well, people came there to listen to their president give a speech. Mm-hmm. And then for the very reason that they so respect our form of government, we were there so that our representatives would see, oh, this is important to the people. This is so important. They drove across the country. They took a week off work. Mm-hmm. They came here to let us know, we feel there might have been a problem with the last election. Would you look into this for us? Because you're our representatives. And so it went from that. There was a plan clearly in the works. As we came down to the Capitol, I was telling my boys who were with me, something's going on. And we had no idea if anything was going on yet, but there was no police. And they were making us walk on the grass to go around to the backside of the Capitol where there was supposed to be some more speeches going on. And I'm like, that's weird. They never let you get near the grass. And then all of a sudden things started to come undone. And now a year in retrospect, as so many home movies have come out from people filming everything in two great documentaries, Patriot Purge by Tucker Carlson, and then A Capital Punishment by another company, where they took the time to dig into this whole thing. You see the truth. It was a setup. There was no police there. Someone had unlocked the doors. The rally had been infiltrated. We know now by FBI, Antifa, BLM. One thing, Jan, that is so proof of this for people that are still skeptical, this is the key thing to me. When someone's running and hiding, then you realize, oh, I guess we were right. But Nancy Pelosi has still taken all the footage from that day. That building is so videoed. I mean, every hallway, every entrance has video cameras there. And she's taken all that footage and put it off limits where no one can look at it. You wouldn't do that if you were really wanting to get to the bottom of something, because you would be able to see the faces of all the people who unlocked the doors, and they're not letting people see that. So then you realize, I guess it's pretty crystal clear that you were involved in this because you're hiding.
You reported that Black Lives Matter radicals have been released while very good patriotic people continue to languish in prison now over a year. This is just stunning.
Without even any charges pressed against them. That should make every Democrat, every Republican, every American citizen cringe that a government would hold people without pressing charges for over a year, many of them in solitary confinement. That's plain evil.
Yeah, evil.
That's communistic. And that's what the tyrants like Stalin did to the people. But that's not supposed to be happening to anyone, even if they're guilty in America, because in America, everyone is innocent until they've been proven guilty in a court of law by their peers.
Was the narrative then patriotism equals terrorism, the narrative of the left?
Yes, absolutely. They realized there was a great divide in this country where you saw the only people that are waving flags, that are patriotic, that just tear up when the national anthem plays stuff, was all those that happen to be on the conservative side of things. Most liberals are not patriotic. They don't tear up when they hear stories of George Washington. And they saw this divide. They realized, if that's who's against us, we have to make that, where that itself is a problem, where patriotism is a problem. That's why they've been attacking our country like they have and teaching our children it's so evil.
Sure.
That's why all this had to take place, because as the narrative goes on, it's hard to act like you're patriotic when you hate the country that you're in.
You can follow Curtis at agendaweekly.com and sign up there for his weekly agenda report. Excellent. It's about an hour a week. I highly, highly recommend it. What does this mean for the future, Curtis? So this incident is now over a year ago, but what does it mean for the future? One of the things that concerns me so greatly is that it seems our Justice Department is so compromised, so that does not bode well for the future. And I want to comment here in just a minute on the trucker situation in Canada, and it's coming to America as soon as next week. The trucker situation in America, which is to begin either, I believe, end of February, early March, it will be going from West Coast to East Coast. Will those truckers be seen as the patriots from January 6th?
They'll do their best to make it look like that. Just like in Canada, you know, they're calling them insurrectionists, people out there with bouncy towers for children to play in and feeding the poor. So no, they've gone with this narrative. Those that oppose them are insurrectionists, and it's starting to spread throughout the world, started in America. So yes, that is how they will try to portray that. They'll look for or plant Nazi flags or whatever to try to keep the narrative that patriotism equals enemies of our country.
So January 6th was really just the stage setting, the precursor to a whole movement that seems to be sweeping parts of the free world, that we demonize those who are patriotic, that we demonize those who sing the national anthem, etc.
That's right. And the media is giving big government the coverage and the cover to consolidate power for total control. So the media is totally in on this with them. They're just keep spewing the stories, an armed insurrection about January 6th, when we know now from the FBI, there's no arms. And of course, if there's no arms, there's no insurrection. Nobody yells at people to take over a country. They see the whole thing is bogus. One point that's key, though, for people to understand with this, having studied Marxism for so long, one of the key things they do is they always accuse you of doing what they are doing. That's the thing we have to understand about January 6th. They knew they were performing an insurrection on that day by legitimizing these votes that were in question. And they had to turn the narrative. No, the other side's doing an insurrection. And that's a key point to understand. They pulled off an insurrection on January 6th. And we were accused of doing one when we were simply there to show our representatives that this was an important matter to us.
You said, I believe it was in the same update, that you feel our elections We're going to be voting by simply using drop boxes, which is, of course, a massive invitation to corruption. And I think the 2020 election proved that. So why do you feel that we're headed towards these voting irregularities?
I think they understand they cannot win an election spewing the propaganda, the anti-American rhetoric, and the anti-freedom rhetoric they're spewing. A huge percentage of Democrats will not even be voting for them. They know that because authoritarianism doesn't sell. It's not an easy sell to people. That's why that insurrection narrative can't go away. They use COVID to change voting laws for 2020. Yep. And they did it illegally. They didn't even do it through the system like you're supposed to. But they, we have a crisis here. We have a pandemic. So they changed the way we voted in this country. And now with January 6th, just keeping preaching this, they're trying to continue that on by acting like, because of that, that's why we need to have free and fair elections always. And we need to stop these people that are trying to stop the Black community from voting. Even though the most recent poll I saw, 70% of African Americans in America said that they preferred people having to show an ID to vote.
Right.
So everyone's for that because everyone wants their vote to count. But no one wants their vote to be delegitimized. That's why this narrative, they just keep pushing it because they're hoping people will not be watching them as they slowly try to transform the elections and many other things in this country while they're crying about this great injustice.
I want to reference the Canadian situation here for a minute. And I did talk about it last week with Leo Homan, so I'm not going to dwell on it. But it's such an incredible exercise in freedom and democracy. Play a little clip of you, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
If you didn't catch what he was saying, he goes, the majority of the cabinet of those countries are also students of the World Economic Forum, Build Back Better, the Great Reset. That's why I think they're using Canada as a kind of a test program, like Australia and New Zealand. It's right there. They've got their people in charge. Let's push the Build Back Better. Let's push the Great Reset. Let's throw out all constitutional rights because we're in a crisis, and let's see how it goes. And let's just keep pushing forward to do it, because if we can get it to work there, we can probably duplicate that in all the countries of the world. That's why this is so significant. Also, this movement is going to start in California, in America, on March 1st and go to Washington, D.C. So we need to be praying about that, be active in funding that, supporting it any way we can. You truck drivers, become part of that. And we're going to see if this, again, causes them to submit and realize the people aren't going to put up with this, or are they going to get really nasty and dirty and evil and start using military force against those.
Curtis, this freedom effort is truly a pivotal moment in history, and I've even heard you say that.
It is. It's a wonderful time to be alive, even though it's not an easy time.
Yeah.
But it is, because finally technology has given tyrants the ability to actually finally control every human on the planet. It's never been there before. No dictator was ever able to totally control their people. They did it the best they could, but they didn't have the technology. And now those that have a lust for power realize, you know what, we can do this. We can actually pull this thing off. Mm-hmm. But people are waking up all around the world because they see it too, like the noose is tightening around our neck. And if we allow them to do COVID passports or digital currencies, they're going to finally have total control where they can simply erase us if we're not going along with the party line. And so that's why it's a key time in world history.
I would agree. I want to read two paragraphs. This comes from Tucker Carlson. It was an update he gave on Fox News. The title, How Long Until Canadian-Style Tyranny Comes to America? Let me read two paragraphs and then come back and ask you about this. And Tucker says this, what happens there matters here. If nothing else, it's a preview of what will likely happen in America. So with that in mind, you should know that Justin Trudeau is no longer the Prime Minister of Canada. Justin Trudeau is Canada's maximum leader, its strongman, its potentate. Trudeau is the dictator of Canada. If you think that's an overstatement, try to think of another way to describe what Justin Trudeau is doing. And then I'm going to conclude with this paragraph. For the first time in Canada's history, Trudeau has invoked what's known as the Emergencies Act. But the protests he is facing hardly qualify as an emergency. But suddenly, Trudeau has the power to crush all political opposition to his rule. And that's exactly what he's doing. Trudeau has ended free speech in Canada. He's banned free assembly. Trudeau's government has shut down political rallies and arrested his political critics without probable cause. Trudeau has instituted internal passports that restrict travel within Canada to the politically obedient. Canadians are no longer allowed to leave their own country unless they obey Justin Trudeau. And if they don't obey, they could be bankrupted and destroyed. He now has the power to do that. Trudeau has claimed the power to freeze the financial assets of any Canadian who resists him. No court order is required to do this. He just decides. The point of the 15-minute editorial that Carlson presented on Fox News is that his deep, deep concern that this kind of tyranny is clearly coming to the land of the free and the home of the brave here in America. Would you agree?
Yes, because they're tyrants at heart. And you'll notice that up until a week or so ago, before he did this Emergency Powers Act, they were not getting so extreme. But the Biden administration came to them and said, we will help you. This has to be ended now. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, who knows, maybe FBI guys are going to go in there and infiltrate and start stirring things up. But unfortunately, when the American government and its intelligence agencies get involved, you know it's going to be dirty, sure. It's going to be wrong, it's going to be evil, which is so sad to even say that. It makes me sick to my stomach, but that's the way it is. And when you use what's our equivalent of martial law to silence political critics that are being peaceful, respectful, and protesting something that is deeply important to them, you are entering a whole new world. And I guarantee you, it's the World Economic Forum that is behind this as a test market for this, because they realize these countries that are supposedly free, we still need to be in total control of them. How do we do it? Justin Trudeau, of course, was a student of Klaus Schwab and most of his cabinet as well. So they are the guinea pigs, and they're going to try to go for the gold.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Curtis Bowers, producer of the wonderful Agenda Twin Pack we are carrying in our online store. Check it out at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, or you can call my office. And we're offering the Twin Pack award-winning Agenda series for $25, no shipping in the U.S. and Canada. A powerful expose of the socialist and communist agenda to take over America, take her down. It's a history lesson with the input from some of the leading commentators of our day. Quite frankly, the world awaits a crisis that will speed this event. I maintain the crisis has arrived, and that would be the perceived health crisis, which, quite frankly, I think is perhaps not quite the crisis that it's being made out to be. Would you agree with that, Curtis? Number one, that they successfully pulled off the crisis, probably planned it in October of 2019 at Event 201 in New York City, pulled it off rather brilliantly, but I think the bottom line point is it's not quite the realistic medical crisis that it's been made out to be.
Especially if you count in all the information that was withheld from people about early pretreatments and things that we already have, medicines we've already used for decades that are extremely effective at minimizing this down to just a common flu or cold. So yes, it was sinister from the beginning. And then every day went by confirmed that, because they refused to ever allow people to have things that would help them, and only saying that the only thing that will help is this experimental shot whenever it's available in the future. So for a year, just letting people die without giving them help, that shows who they are. They will do anything to keep and gain power.
But the ultimate goal, which you talk about frequently, and I talk about on this program almost every week, I have to be honest, almost every week, the system is being set up for global government, correct? That's what the Bible tells us. The Bible says that's on the horizon.
That's right. And we see from the Bible, because it's 100% accurate 100% of the time, that we knew this was coming. God told us the system it would be, where there's mark to buy and sell, things that sounded crazy to us even 10 or 15 years ago. But it's all going in that direction, because man is sinful and evil to the core, and Satan wants to rule this world. So we knew this was coming. But again, now, because of technology, like I talked about, this is possible, and they see this is possible. And those that have that satanic lust for power, they want to be the generation that finally pulls it off. Many people have talked about it for centuries and millennia of ruling the world, but now they realize we could actually do this.
So when do you think that the universal IDs, the COVID passports for everybody, are going to be the law of the land? For now, let's leave this at America. We can't really make these predictions for other countries, but let's stick with home here.
They'd love to do it today, but I think there's still quite a bit of opposition. They still haven't completely censored the internet and things where people are getting more and more information and waking up to realizing, wait a minute, this thing is not looking good. So our momentum on our side, I believe, truly is building, but they see that. So it's this battle. But I know, too, that they love crises.
Yes.
So we're only one crisis away from them just doing it. Maybe something else is going to happen, or they're going to plan some false flag event, or something naturally happens, but they're going to utilize that. We saw what they've done in the last few years because they never let a good crisis go
to
waste. That's why it's so close. Even those that think, oh, that's not going to happen for a while, it could happen a lot sooner than we think.
I'm going to transition just a little bit, and I'm going to have to take my midpoint break. But before I do that, I want to play another clip. It is of you. In this clip, I'm going to use it to transition our discussion just a bit to the fact that many are warning that we are repeating, we being the free Western world, and we can even narrow it down to the U.S., but it's really the free world. Many are warning that we're repeating some of the disasters from the Nazi era. I'm going to introduce this segment, then I'll take my break, and then we'll come back and talk about it with a clip of you.
I think back to Auschwitz and some of the survivors from there that had some things to say. I want to read a few things. This is Marian Tursky. Auschwitz did not fall down from the skies. Like other totalitarian regimes, the Nazi regime first had to demonize and delegitimize the Jews before they could be rounded up and eventually exterminated in the camps. Jews became the brunt of Germans' ills with the aid of the Nazi Party paper, whose motto was, "The Jews are our misfortune." So they start setting up the scenario with the media of these group of people are not legitimate. They're our enemy. These unvaccinated are putting everyone at risk. These patriots are all insurrectionists and domestic terrorists.
Let's Go Brandon isn't about what you feel about supply chain issues and gas. It is the cry of insurrectionists. It is the cry of people who want to violently take over this country and oppress anyone who is not like them.
So they start to turn the general public against those, again, that don't agree with them. It's exactly what they did in Nazi Germany. But Jews were pushed out first before they were executed. They were pushed out of government, universities, journalism, while Jewish shops were boycotted and eventually shut down. So when a government creates a subclass of human beings, a group that's outcast, a group that's nonconformist, that won't do what they're told, and by doing that, they're endangering everybody else, at least that's what everybody is told, it will start to get people to turn on them. And we saw it in Germany perfectly. A civilized people, a modern society, but with the right manipulation and propaganda, they were then okay as, yeah, get these people out of here.
Okay, I'm going to discuss that a little bit more when I get back from a midpoint break here. But let me just make a couple of very quick announcements here. We have been having every other month Understanding the Times meetings here in the Minneapolis area, live streamed to the whole world. And the next one is not until Thursday, April 21st with Pastor Brandon Holthaus. But the other night we enjoyed a night with Pastor Tom Hughes, and the evening is available on our website, olivetreeviews.org, under video, olivetreeviews.org, under video. And we will be making a DVD of this event and probably all the forthcoming events. So if you would like a DVD of that event, and some of you have called, check my online store, olivetreeviews.org, or call my office or get on our newsletter lists, e-newsletter and print. And then one more reminder about the YouTube fraud going on. About 1,000 of our videos have been hijacked by a fraudster, probably from China. And he has doctored our videos, turned them into audio only, changed the dates on them to make five-year-old videos look current. Lots of other things that he's been doing. So watch for them. Don't play them, just move on, and YouTube will not act and take them down. And we have hundreds of thousands following us on YouTube, so this has not been a happy time. And if you, for instance, see a tennis court or a construction site, those are not our videos. If anything is audio only, that is not Olive Tree. And apologize here for being redundant, but if you knew how many confused followers of ours are writing us, not understanding what's going on, I'm just trying to clarify and stop some of the confusion. I am coming back in just a minute or two. I'm going to continue on with Curtis Bowers. You can find more information about Curtis at agendaweekly.com, agendaweekly.com. So don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452. People Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In an age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. We are carrying a new and timely product produced by Pastor Billy Crone, a DVD set entitled Are You Ready for the Rapture? A 9-DVD set. Laugh, mock, and scoff all you want, but if there's one thing the Bible is clear about, millions of people, specifically Christians, will suddenly disappear from this planet in an immediate flash of events. They will be raptured straight into heaven itself by the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, most of our world not only ignores this profound biblical truth, including God's warning to not be left behind, but sadly, even those who profess to be Christians today act like it won't happen anytime soon. Therefore, this study, Are You Ready for the Rapture?, seeks to equip you with the many biblical truths concerning this supernatural departure. Find it in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call our office Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. It will also be offered in our print and e-newsletter. Sign up online.
Those of you that are Christians listening to this, you're on the side of right. You have the truth in the Bible. We need to be standing for these things. It's the greatest way we can love our neighbor. And the encouraging news is people are starting to stand more now than I've ever seen in my entire life all over the world. Well, we need to stand with them.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so catch Understanding the Times Radio at your convenience online. Watch the video version of the program or listen to the audio at olivetreeviews.org, then to complete archives on YouTube, on Rumble, on Light Source, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now let's wrap up today's conversation with Curtis Bowers.
The protest in Canada involving vaccine mandates for truck drivers may be 2,000 miles away, but many drivers in the United States are aware of what's happening there. The idea of a similar protest in the lower 48 with what some are calling a freedom convoy is enticing to drivers like Shannon Iverson.
It's about standing up. A few more things, too, but it's about standing up. They can't tell us what to do.
An alert about a U.S. trucker protest was issued Tuesday by the Department of Homeland Security. The notice obtained by Fox 7 and sent to law enforcement agencies across the country warned a trucker protest convoy may start in Los Angeles and expand to other metropolitan areas. Federal officials noted the convoy could potentially severely disrupt transportation, federal government, and law enforcement operations and emergency services through gridlock and potential counter-protest. Drivers like Chad McMichael said he may join the convoy and doubts it would become violent.
Yeah, there's no extremism in it. You can watch all the videos and stuff, what's going on even in Canada. No extremism there. It's just people trying to survive.
In the alert, DHS acknowledged
At this time, we have no indication that individuals discussing participating in these activities in the United States are engaged in anything other than First Amendment protected activity, but also warned the events have significant public safety implications and could be exploited to potentially encourage others to act violently.
Welcome back, and you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm spending the hour with Curtis Bowers. Learn more at agendaweekly.com or look into the Agenda Twin Pack that we carry at olivetreeviews.org. Again, the communist infiltration, we've talked about it on this program numerous times. The fact that tyranny is trying to reign these days, freedom fighters are certainly pushing back, and now a convoy is about to begin crossing America, maybe more than one, probably in the latter part of the month here or early part of March. And what's going to be the result of that? Do we see more tyranny push back against that? Probably. I gave a tease there in part one that many are warning, as I said, that we are repeating some disasters of the past with some of the new tyrannical behaviors that we are observing. This is seen, I think, in at least 24 countries around the world, including the U.S. and Canada. Sometimes that starts with creating a subclass. And since March of 2020, quite frankly, that subclass would be those who do not toe the COVID narration and the COVID line. They might be objecting to masks. They might be objecting to injections, forced closures. Quite frankly, they might be objecting to the destruction of the middle class, as we should be objecting. But any repressive leadership is going to delegitimize people they don't like or agree with. And we have seen that tyranny being exercised over infractions that aren't very draconian per the truckers in Canada and other countries per pushing back against COVID mandates and a whole lot more. Curtis, and I know it concerns you as well, that we've got flashbacks here. You and I weren't around during Nazi Germany, but nonetheless, I'm still having flashbacks because of all the newsreels and all that I've seen on that era. I've written a book on it. I know very well what happened during that time, and I know it bothers you as much as it bothers me.
Yes, some people that don't like that analogy because they're like, well, you're not suffering like the Jews. No, we're not yet.
Yeah.
But they're laying the foundation where that can be happening in a society. That's why it is so scary and so deadly. Again, whenever you divide any group off, you're heading down a road that ends in destruction. What we've seen in Canada there and in America, too, we're seeing the same thing. It seems like the only real crime is criticizing leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only countries that's true about are those countries that have a dictatorship. If you criticize them, if you stand against them, they will use all the power they have to stop you. And that's why we see this. And it's been going on in America, too. But the step that Trudeau took using martial law, that's still just sobering to me because Canada is very similar to America in a lot of ways in its history and things. The fact that that is happening is crazy. But Nazi Germany didn't happen overnight. When Hitler first came into power in 1933, all he said is we're going to make Germany the greatest country in the world. And he started getting the levers of power. He started the Hitler Youth getting propagandized in the school. He started doing things that were preparing the ground for what he wanted to do. That's why you have to pay attention to these little nuances and differences here, because it's setting the stage for where they want to go. And when you see that happening, you realize, wait a minute, that's not a good place where they want to go. So I need to stand up now. I can't wait till they're knocking on my door.
Right.
I need to stand up now. And always, I just encourage everyone listening, if you know anyone in your area, anywhere that's standing and being persecuted, support them in whatever way possible. An encouraging letter, email, funding them, doing whatever. That's what I've loved about what's going on in Canada. I've never seen a protest where the bystanders are so supportive of the people standing, it's giving them the courage to really stand in a way like, oh, I don't care if I lose my job. I don't care if I lose my truck. This is important. And I know they have that kind of courage because of the support. When those convoys were first coming in weeks ago, and every overpass in the country had all the Canadians waving their flags and holding up signs, we love you and thank you for standing for us. That will give anyone courage when you know the people are behind you. We need to give that same kind of support to anyone in America that's standing for anything that's noble and just, because it really does feed the flames of courage to be able to stand.
So the globalists won in Canada, folks. As a matter of fact, the crushing of the Canadian truckers was probably globalism's finest hour. We've seen good patriotic Canadians have their bank accounts frozen, their driver's licenses revoked, their insurance canceled, all by a lawless government in the pocket of the global predators at Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum. And by the way, nearly half of Trudeau's cabinet have graduated from Schwab's Young Global Leaders School, where frankly they learn how to be good globalists lacking in all compassion, which we saw here in the last week. Only world government matters to all of them. And that's why we warn about this week after week on this program. I'm going to play a clip here of Naomi Wolf. Now, Naomi's a very interesting gal. She's a tech titan herself, granddaughter of Holocaust victims, perhaps. She's on with Jamie Glazov, and he's talking to her about an article she's written. Let's just play it and then come back and talk about it.
On the subtlety of monsters, Naomi, thank you so much for being here this evening to discuss. And you were stressing in that essay, and I think it's one of the most important essays in the world at the moment, to be honest, about why it's important for us to talk about Nazism today, because as you stressed, these dark times indeed echo an earlier totalitarian era.
Yeah. Would you like me to just dive right in and talk about that?
Absolutely. Let's begin with that. In general, what inspired you to write this essay?
That's a good question. Well, since the pandemic began, I've been trying to warn people on the left and the right, it's not partisan, that what we're seeing is a grab for a totalitarian regime worldwide. And I know that because I wrote a book in 2008 called The End of America, and I looked at closing societies, and left or right, you know, whether it was Mussolini in the 20s in Italy or the Nazis in the 30s or East Germany in the 50s or China in the 80s, dictators always do the same 10 things. They take the same 10 steps. So I warned people what those 10 steps are. And I said, you know, we're hurtling in that direction. So since March 2020, we've been, I mean, as I often say these days, the coup has already happened in North America and Western Europe. I don't need to overstress to your audience, our liberties have been suspended. We haven't been free to move around. We haven't been free to run our businesses. Our children are masked. Forcible injections are taking place of medical interference that is unlawful. In the face of all this evil, I saw many echoes and I went back to my core texts. This is Racial Hygiene by Robert Proctor, really great historian of the Nazi era, and The Nazi Doctors, the famous book by Robert J. Lifton. And there you see that what we're seeing today, the kind of creation of a two-tier society of kind of life unworthy of life, you know, threats to withhold medical care from people, the encouragement of one sector to see another sector as infectious or diseased or not worthy of being included in society, it all is a blueprint from the Nazi era. And I kind of get to say this. I think anyone should be able to say this, but I get to say it especially because my grandmother lost 9 siblings to the Nazis. And I'm the daughter of people who kind of survived those horrors and granddaughter of people who survived those horrors, I should say. But I don't personally believe that you have to be Jewish or the descendant of Holocaust survivors to notice that we're living in a time that is setting up structures that are very akin to the early 30s. And I want to say one more thing. Critics have scolded people who are trying to raise the alarm about how we're reproducing the Nazi era by saying, you know, it's not Mengele, it's not the death camps. Well, that's correct. It's not Mengele, it's not the death camps. Those took place from 1943 to 1945. But what it is for sure is very much like, almost identical to the early years, 1931 to 1933 in Nazi Germany, when lawfully using the law, the National Socialists gained power and started promulgating these kind of nuanced civil society edicts and using doctors as their advance guard. And health passes, by the way, which are very much akin to vaccine passes. So that is kind of the core of my essay. And I guess the larger rubric that led me to write the essay is that people have to understand what's happening. And in order to do that, they have to not mirror image. They have to not think everyone is like them. Everyone is decent. Everyone has compassion. The people who are in charge of this don't have compassion. They are sociopaths. And I just wanted to tease that out a bit.
Curtis Bowers, again, that was Naomi Wolf on with Jamie Glazoff. And she just came right out and said, this is a fascinating woman. She's a leftist, and I think she's absolutely had almost an awakening to see that leftism is causing such repression and medical tyranny around the world. And she called what happened in March of 2020 a coup. I think you and I would agree.
Yes, it was. It was the crisis they needed to gain the ground they need to gain, where they can finally have total control, where they don't have to worry about elections, where they don't have to worry about opposition, because they have set the foundations and the parameters in place where you can cancel, you can destroy, defund. Anyone that opposes you, you just eliminate, just like Stalin did. Anyone opposing him was executed. They're like, okay, maybe we just can't kill everybody, but we can do almost the same thing by canceling them. They lose their job. They can't travel. They lose their bank account. So it's the same thing they're wanting, the same power Stalin had. Sometimes in America, we're lulled to sleep because we've been so blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be in our own home still and sitting around with our family or friends and talking and feel like, are things really that bad? That's an enemy, that idea that, no, yeah, everything will be okay. I'll promise you this, it will not be okay unless we stand, and then God chooses to bless our effort to stand.
Mm-hmm.
I know where this is going, Jan. You know where this is going. I've read all their books for the last 100 years on what they wanted to do and how they were going to have global government and a global financial system and a global church that they're in total control of. So they would be in control of everything. And we just happen to be alive in the generation where that's all starting to come together again with the momentum and the technology to possibly pull it off.
I think, Curtis, by the way, I'm going to play one more clip, but before I do that, I think one of the issues that's allowing all of this to happen as we speak, turmoil in the land, you'd name the land, and there's turmoil in it, doesn't matter what country we're talking about, there's turmoil, is that right now the world does not have a significant leader. As a result, there are tyrants, starting with Vladimir Putin and others, that are rising up because they see there's nobody that's going to push them back. There's nobody that's going to come forward and stand for freedom.
That's right. And that's significant. That's another horrible consequence of Biden sitting in the White House is there's no leader in the world. So wicked men are going to do their evil. And they know nobody's standing against them. Everyone's focused on themselves or nothing at all. So yes, that is the key area right now. We're facing a world where no one is standing and saying, you can't do this, or you have to treat your citizens in this way or that. No one, and it seems really the opposite is happening. Everyone is doing what's right in their own eyes, and everyone's then condoning that. It's like, oh yeah, Justin Trudeau should use as much force as he needs to. That's our government telling him that. A peaceful protest, however you have to end it, you must end it. What does that mean in a free society? Especially since it has been, and I don't know if everyone listening to this has watched the live streams from the trucker convoys, but I've watched 20, 30 hours because I wanted to know, what is this really about? And I'm telling you, they are the most peaceful, respectful, kind people. I'm so thankful there's that fiber there. And they have far more courage than Americans do, which I'm shocked, because I didn't think, oh, Canadians, they've given up. They don't have it. They are just willing to stand no matter what it costs them. We haven't been willing to stand no matter what it costs us. If it costs us something, we're like, oh, I can't do that. But we've got to learn from them that that's the next step down the road.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I am Jan Markell. I have on the line Curtis Bowers. It's a familiar voice now, I'm sure. You recognize Curtis and his name and his product. We carry the Agenda Twin Pack in my online store at olivetreeviews.org. Learn more about Curtis at agendaweekly.com. Sign up for his weekly updates. They're outstanding. They're about an hour every weekend or so. And he'll apprise you of all the things and a ton more that we just can't get to in less than an hour. Agendaweekly.com. I'm going to play one more clip here. This happens to be Holocaust survivor Vera Sharav. And again, I'm playing it because she is sounding a warning. She went through this in the 1930s and 40s. Here she's talking about the literal weaponization of medicine, which we are seeing. She's talking about how a certain class in World War II, the Jews, were not only marginalized, but almost put out of existence. Fascinating little few minutes here of Vera Sharav, then we'll come back and we'll wrap things up with Curtis Bowers.
I'm Vera Sharav. I'm a Holocaust survivor, but also a human rights advocate for almost all my life. I would like to bring to the discussion the darkest of dark histories and its relevance to today. An important lesson of the Holocaust is that genocide was facilitated by global silence, indifference, and the failure to intervene. The Holocaust was set in motion when personal freedom, legal rights, and civil rights were swept aside. The author Primo Levi, an Italian Jewish survivor of Auschwitz, warned very early on, it happened, therefore it can happen again, it can happen everywhere. As a survivor, I am appalled by the poseurs who control the Holocaust narrative. They deny the relevance of the Holocaust to current discrimination and increasingly aggressive repressive edicts. These vigilantes censor and silence those who speak out. By denying the relevance of the Holocaust and the current repression, these vigilantes are Holocaust deniers. Elie Wiesel, an Auschwitz survivor, Nobel laureate, who was regarded as the victim's voice, stated, "Indifference and the silence of people led to the Holocaust. To remain silent and indifferent is the greatest of all sins." Today, survivors are shaken by a fear-mongering and divisive discriminatory measures against a minority. They recognize the signals very clearly. Horrifying scenes include police in black uniforms brutally attacking demonstrators, or as we saw today, destroying the platform. This is happening in European cities, in Australia, and yes, in Israel. These painful reminders are the prelude of the Holocaust. The Nazis used psychological weapons, fear, and propaganda to impose their genocidal regime. They demonized Jews as spreaders of disease and the cause of all their misery. Moral norms and values were systematically obliterated, all in the name of public health. Today's predators also use fear and propaganda to maintain a state of anxiety and helplessness. The objective then and now is identical. It is to condition people to become obedient and to follow directives without question. The global assault on our freedom and our right to self-determination is facilitated by the weaponization of medicine. Then and now, the medical establishment provided the veneer of legitimacy to mass medical murder. The Nazis declared disabled people unfit for life. The first medical murder victims were 1,000 German infants and children who were medically murdered in hospitals. In 2020, governments declared an emergency and issued deadly medical dictates. Hospitals were ordered not to treat the elderly in nursing homes. The result was mass medical murder. Sweden called it active euthanasia. UK hospitals used lethal doses of the drug midazolam to medically murder the elderly. The UK continues to stockpile that drug. For what purpose? Current US hospital guidelines restrict the treatment of the elderly to a minimum. Doctors in Western Europe and the United States are still forbidden to prescribe existing licensed, safe, and effective life-saving treatments for COVID. Today, humanity is threatened by the global heirs of the Nazis. The real virus that continues to infect these predators is eugenics. A report by the U.S. Commission on the Holocaust, chaired by Elie Wiesel, noted, and I quote, "The inclination to duplicate Nazi option and once again exterminate millions of people remains a hideous threat."
Curtis Bowers, Vera Sharav, she's an amazing woman in her 90s. She's just made a stunning comparison. I'm sure you would agree.
It's why God had to go in America. That's why he's been under assault for the last 100 years, because you can't do the things you want to do if there's a God sitting on his throne and that has a book that has absolutes and it says, thou shall not, and this is what you're to do. That's why Christianity and the Judeo-Christian principles have been under assault actively for 100 years since the 1920s by every group that sought to have totalitarian power over the people. They knew if a people believe in God and fathers are leading their families, no one can take down that nation. Those of you that are Christians listening to this, you're on the side of right. You have the truth in the Bible. We need to be standing for these things. It's the greatest way we can love our neighbor. And the encouraging news is people are starting to stand more now than I've ever seen in my entire life all over the world. Well, we need to stand with them. Even if it costs us something, we have to be willing to do that, because otherwise, just like what happened in Nazi Germany, because they didn't stand when there was a small price to pay, they couldn't stand when it was the ultimate price to pay. There was nothing they could do then, and then the slaughter happened. Man will always slaughter man when he has thrown God out of the equation and he wants to sit in the place of God. That's what this is all about. Yeah. They want to be as gods, and they don't want anyone telling them what to do. So yeah, that was so powerful, and we have to learn from history, or like the old saying goes, we're doomed to repeat.
Exactly. And I feel we are repeating it. We have to be careful about comparing certain things to the Holocaust. Vera is, and she went through it. She's just saying, we're seeing the diminishment of freedom, again, medical tyranny, active euthanasia in parts of the world. She happened to highlight Sweden and basically said in 2020, government declared an emergency and medical dictates. And one of those dictates is don't treat the elderly. This is exactly what happened in Nazi Germany and many, many other things as well. But that was just a very profound 5-minute clip there. Curtis, if you want to sum up, we've got a few minutes here. And I appreciate the exhortation that you gave. If you have anything else, I know people need to feel encouraged. And I think we have done that by way of highlighting the efforts at freedom in parts of the world. We've emphasized Canada. It's going on other places. It's even going on in Israel. Coming to America, again, the Freedom Convoy, apparently, end of February, early part of March. But go ahead, you may sum up if you don't mind.
We're all familiar with the Cold War that went on for 70 years with the Soviet Union. In a Cold War, it's hard to tell who's winning or who's being successful and things. And that's what we've been in with the Marxists in our country. There's been a Cold War. That's why the family has been attacked and the church is being attacked and the educational system has been taken over and the entertainment and media and all that stuff was going on, like the agenda films talk about. But it was hard to always put your finger on the pulse of it. But I really feel this is transitioning now to a hot war where it is going to be real casualties and real things going on. The other side is just willing to do anything, it looks like, to finally cross the finish line into world government. That's why we need to be standing now more than ever with courage. King David in Psalm chapter 2 told us this is normal. He said this in verse 2. He said, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Even in King David's time, that's what they were doing. When you rebel against God, you're trying to sit in his place and you're saying, no, no one's telling me what to do. I'm going to cast these bands asunder. But what does it say the next verse? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And it goes down further. It says, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. But for us then, the last two verses say this, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. We need to be trusting in the Lord. He had us born for such a time as this.
That's right.
He knows exactly what each of us is supposed to be doing. And I know we're supposed to be reading his word and obeying what it says, but we're supposed to be shining our light. We're supposed to be in the salt that preserves society and preserves freedom, because God intended all men to be free so they could do what he's asked them to do. And then we're here as things get worse, if we're not able to turn things back at all. The good news in that, even though that's not fun, is as things get darker, somehow God just blesses the good news as it goes out and we share the gospel, because people become desperate and hopeless We could show them, no, even in the midst of the fire, I have great hope, and I know where I am going, and I know in whom I have believed. Just know that. Stand firm on that, knowing God positioned you today to stand for him and to make a difference. And I know you can do it, and we need to support each other as we do.
Thank you, Curtis, for all that you do. But let me just go out of the program. The last 2 weeks, we've talked a lot about freedom, and that's so important to all mankind. But you know, the Bible talks about spiritual freedom, John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. For someone to be liberated, it must first have to be bound or imprisoned. The very definition of a captive is one who is confined. That's exactly what we were. You and I were prisoners held under the bondage of sin. We were held captive by the impulses of sin. We were slaves to the instincts of sin. We had no power to overcome the influence of sin. Sin was our ruler, and it held us captive. And if Jesus Christ is not your liberator, your Savior, your King of Kings, then call on him today and make him the Savior he wants to be. You must ask him to do that. You must turn from your wicked ways and ask him to make you a new creature. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. These are perilous and challenging times, but God makes no mistakes. He has you engraved on the palms of his hands, and everything is falling into place.